Amen. Don't forget that, girls. The Creator of everything loves me, and He loves you. And when times are tough, He loves you. And when things don't go like you think they ought to go, He still loves you. And as they were singing the first time, I just couldn't, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. I just hate to even think about embarrassing anybody, but a lot of people helped out, and there's just life after life after life that helped out and had a part in the Master Clubs. But I particularly thought of Brother Chad Dahlberg. And Chad, when I think of you, I think of Gideon's army, faint yet pursuing. And I appreciate you so much. It's a testimony that has meant so much to me, working with the kids, and just said, you know what, bless God, I'm not going to quit. I'm just going to keep going. And we've wept and prayed, and I just appreciate a man that just keeps going. And look what's been accomplished here. I mean, you watch the video. I mean, I'm sitting there, tears in my eyes, and just knowing the lives that are being changed. And the lives that are going to be changed because you keep going. Folks, just keep going for God. You say, oh, you know, my Sunday, I just can't handle my Sunday. It's just too much for me, or my bus route's too much, or I've got too much going on, or this trial's in my life, this problem. Just keep going. Amen. Keep going. It's worth it. You just have to keep going. I want to talk to you about that God that it's just hard to imagine that He loves us. He loves us so much He gave us a book. Amen? He gave us a book. And I'm not going to keep you very long. I just want to talk to you a few minutes about God's supernatural book. Please, folks, don't think it's just a book. Don't ever get to the place where it's just a book. It should not be just sitting gathering dust in our homes. It is God's supernatural book. Everything about it is supernatural. Psalm 119, verse 89. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven forever. God's word has always been, and God's word will always be. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I mean, you know, as we watch the seasons change, Brother Hawkins, and they just keep changing and keep changing and keep changing. The years go by, and summer comes, and then the fall, and then the winter, and then the spring, and the summer, and it just keeps going year after year after year, and that grass fades, and the flowers, they all die off, and everything. You know, God's Word just keeps standing. It just keeps going. It is because it is supernatural. It's not like any other book. Books come and books go. And we'll write new books. And I'm going to write a book someday. And all those books, and they will be read by people, but they will eventually fade off the scene. But God's supernatural book never will. In my mansion in heaven, and your mansion in heaven, there will be God's book. And it's perfect, and it's there, and it will always be, and nothing will ever happen to it. But it's always been there. It always will be. It's God's supernatural book. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for a church that loves Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us to realize it is supernatural in every part. Bless these next few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's Word, just like God, has always been settled, the Bible says, in heaven. And it will always be. Everything starts with the Word of God. It didn't start in the mind of man. It started with God. It started in the very beginning, which God's Word it always has been. Don't ever get the idea that somehow it came from the mind of men. Don't ever get the idea as you read your Bible that, well, these are interesting words that man had to say. No, it did not start with the mind of man. It's always been in the mind of God. His Word has been, is, and will always be. Don't lose sight of that. I mean, understand that God created man, and then God chose to reveal His Word to man. That's an amazing thing. God chose. God said, I'm going to show man my word. I'm going to show man some things about me. I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to reveal things to man that have been before man could ever imagine. I'm going to show things to man, some things about me. I'm going to reveal my word to man. And as God reveals His word to you and I, He's revealing real truth. Really the only truth, I mean the best truth, the eternal truth, as God reveals His word to man. Four things I want to give you tonight, just very quickly. Number one, it is a divine revelation. It is a supernatural, of God, revelation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's what those girls were singing about in that trio. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, for us. But verse 10 says this, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Watch this. Yea, the deep things of God. Oh, listen to me. And God said, I want to show that to you, people. God said, I want to show that to you, Berean Baptist Church. God said to every Christian in the room, I want to show that to you. I want to show you the deep things of God. And they're all right here in my word. You can't even imagine. I have not seen. Ear hath not heard. It has not entered into your heart. You can't even begin to imagine all the things that I've prepared for you. You can't even imagine all the things that I have for you. You can't imagine how much I love you. But what I'll do is I'll reveal it to you in my word. I'll just give you an idea of the things, by the way. You can't beat the salvation story. I don't care what story anybody ever tells. You can't beat the salvation story. And what did God do? He revealed it to us. He showed it to us. He shows it to us in the Old Testament through the sacrifice of an animal. And then He sends His own Son to be that sacrifice for you and I. And God shows it to us. He says, I want to reveal to you your salvation. I want to reveal to you heaven. I want to reveal to you that in my Father's house are many mansions and I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I want to reveal to you a blessed hope of the future. He said, I want to reveal to you the love that I have for you. We didn't figure it out. I want you to understand tonight it is a divine revelation. We didn't sit around and figure it out. Hey, we finally figured God out. No, you didn't. God revealed Himself to us. God revealed Himself. Hey, listen, it's not out of the mind of man. It's not out of the brain of man. It's not something man could conceive. We have not seen it. We've not heard it. We've not even thought it. But God said, I'll show it to you. I'm going to show it to you with my word. Just like John did on the Isle of Patmos. God literally pulled back the curtain to reveal. As He did in the book of Revelation, He wanted to reveal Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb, the Savior, the Judge. And God said, I want to show you. I want to reveal it to you. Don't ever get this idea, oh, you know, we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to translate this and we've got to translate that and we got to figure. Listen to me, God chose to reveal His Word to you and I, and it's not something that's complicated. It's something He wants us to see. He wants us to know it. He wants us to understand it. He doesn't want us to guess about it. He wants us to know. It's His revelation. Oh, I'll tell you what, we must never think that the Bible has any bit of man, flesh, carnality, our own ideas, or anything else. Understand, His Word cannot be copyrighted. It can't be. There's nothing in it of man. Well, I'm going to put a patent on the Word of God. No, you can't. It's God's Word. It's always been. And He's the one that chose to reveal it to us. When you hear the word revelation, you need to understand God Himself said, I will reveal my word to man. And if He hadn't chosen to do that, we'd never found it. But God gave us a divine revelation. Number two, it is given by inspiration. It is a divine revelation, number two, given by inspiration. We know that. God breathed His Word to us. By the way, that only makes sense. If God's going to reveal it to us, if He's chosen to reveal it, it only makes sense He'd have to breathe it. Who else could? If eye hath not seen, if ear hath not heard, if our minds can't even come up with any of it, how could we ever create the Word of God? Oh, God breathed it. I'm amazed how many people can't grasp the fact that God breathed His Word to man. I'm amazed how many folks, theologians and deep, deep Bible scholars, they can't figure it out that God would have to breathe God's Word. But He did. Real quick, 2 Peter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You see that? It came not in old time by the will of man. Men didn't come together and say, we need to come up with something here. No. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They only spake that which God spake through them. Amen. That's it. That's how it came about. That's the writers. They were inspired. The writings, they're supernatural. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, it's given by inspiration of God. The writings, they're God-breathed. All Scripture. Every bit of it. As Brother Barnum reads over there, that is God's Word. Those are God's words that are given. And as we read them, we take it for granted. Oh, you know, I'm going to read the Bible. Okay. Hey, God breathed those words. It's supernatural. Supernatural. The writers, the writings. How about the words? 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Many, many verses we could look at, but for time, I just picked out a few. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice the words are inspired by God. Watch what Jesus says in John 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. Very, very important that we understand how important the words are. John 12 and verse 48. The Bible says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Matthew 4 and verse 4. We make reference to it often. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Again, God wrote it. God said it. It is His revelation to us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, He said, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if a word proceeds out of the mouth of God, and God said, I want to reveal to you my words, don't you think He knows how to reveal His word to us? And if God said that's what we had to have, wouldn't God make sure we have it? Of course He would. It is a divine revelation given by inspiration. As I think of God's inspiration, I think about the Scripture that said it's not a private interpretation. Not something man could just come up with his own idea on. Well, here's what I think God is saying here, and so I'll write this down and make that the Word of God. No, we have no right to do that. Somebody was telling me this about a pastor that they heard preach, and this pastor said, well, I don't preach to people how to live. I let the Holy Spirit tell them. Now, you know, that sounds so warm and fuzzy. That sounds so cute. In fact, some of you are saying, wow, that sounds pretty good. That's because you've been watching too much Christian television. You know what my Bible, look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Here's what God commands, okay? That's, by the way, that's how the Burger King mentality is becoming. today. It really is. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Thank you for agreeing with me, Dale. The Burger King mentality is, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by preaching hard. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by preaching on the Bible and telling people how to live, because we'll let the Holy Spirit tell them how to live. Well, you know what the Bible says about the man of God? The Bible says, preach the word. It says, preach the word. It doesn't say, help them to figure it out. It doesn't say, let the Holy Spirit speak to them. God says to the man of God, preach the word. And if the word offends somebody, let it offend. If the word works on somebody, let it work. In fact, he says this. He says, be instant in season, out of season. Watch this word here. Are you ready? Not popular today. Going to get me in trouble. Reprove, he says. Reprove. Rebuke. Hey, quit living like that. That's what it says. Exhort. Hey, come on, you can make it. You can do it. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine, that's black or white. That's boundaries. Nowadays, whatever feels good, folks. Whatever feels good, it's okay. That's why I like the old King James Bible. You know what? I'm telling you, it just tells us what we need to know, and it tells it like it is. God breathed it, the writers wrote it, and the words were breathed by God Almighty. The one who it's always been. It is never, there's never been a time the Word of God didn't exist. Are you listening? Number one, it is a divine revelation. Number two, it is given by inspiration. Number three, it is kept by preservation. Psalm 12, I was going to do an experiment, and I kept thinking about how to do it and what to do and everything, and I knew it worked, but I just decided not to do it. Psalm 12 and verse 6, and what I wanted to do is I was going to give a sentence and start it in the front and have them just whisper it back and forth, back and forth, back, like you do outside of church or in the corners. Anyway, we were going to go all the way back to the back. And I guarantee, I promise you this, by the time it got from the front to the back, it wouldn't be the same. Guaranteed. Have you ever done that before? I don't know. There's little games you do and stuff like that. And we were going to do it over on this side. And I promise you, whatever they got over from the front here, same thing. We'd tell the same front people the same thing. They'd pass it on. A lot of strange people in that. But anyway, and just keep going. By the time it got to the back, it not only wouldn't be the same as it was in the front, it wouldn't be the same as it is over here. Now, I want to just tell you, and I thought about we'd have the Spanish folks translate it to the Spanish folks in Spanish. We'd have the sign language folks translate to sign language people in sign language. And we'd have anybody else speaks any other language, they would translate it into their language and pass it on like that. And I promise you it'd be a mess. You understand what I'm saying? Guaranteed. It'd be a total mess. You know why? Because of us. Listen to me. Please get this. If you don't get anything else, get this, all right? God, it's a divine revelation. It is given to us by inspiration. And God knew that you and I, by the way, it has nothing to do with flesh, has nothing to do with carnality, has nothing to do with what we think, has nothing to do with our thoughts, our mind, our hearts, nothing to do with us. Nothing. Nothing. Can you say nothing? Thank you. And the truth of the matter is, if it came to the preservation of it, you and I would blow it completely. We would blow it totally. I don't care how careful a copyist could possibly be. He'd mess up. Somewhere along the line, it's going to mess up. But. There's just, but. Here you go. You ready? Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure. Words are pure. They cannot be altered. They're already perfect. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified. Seven, there's our number seven revelation class. Amen? Seven times, that's perfect. They're pure, they're perfect. They can't be messed with. What would we do? We'd mess it all up. Do we mess everything up? Study your Bible, we mess it all up, always. Never been a time we haven't messed it up. We would have messed that up. I'd have started with Phyllis, she would have got it right. And she'd have passed it to Daryl, Daryl to Ray to Liz, and they'd keep going, and pretty soon it'd start getting all muddy. Pretty soon we'd have some false doctrine all the way by the, I mean by halfway through we'd have false doctrine. We'd have all kinds of things messed up. You know, because that's what man does. But God says, my words are pure. Humans aren't pure. Man is not pure. My words are pure. Yeah. So what did he say in verse 7? He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Yeah. Rob, aren't you glad it's not up to you and me to keep them? Because we'd mess it up, wouldn't we? I know I would. You would. Can you imagine if I had to translate it into some language or something like that? I'd mess that up. I know I would. Yeah. You say, well, how do we have a... Because God chose to give it to us. That's how we have... That's how we got our King James Bible. I'm not here to brag on King James. I'm glad God was able to use him. And by the way, that's a miraculous story when you look at it. But it wasn't because of King James. It wasn't because of Erasmus. You know who it was because of? Totally. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. It's like man saying, we can't, but you can. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You say, preacher, I was looking for some deep theological explanation of preservation. You know what? Here's how deep it really is. God did it. Well, what about all the Sinaiticus and the manuscripts and the Alexandrian manuscripts and Westcott and Hort and all? Listen to me. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't study that, and if you study it, you're going to end up at the King James Bible, I guarantee. But here's what you need to understand: God had to keep it and preserve His words, and He said He would. So that these little children that were up here a little while ago, they could have the Word of God. If it was up to us, it'd get messed up. But it's up to Him. And He passed on His Word to us. A promise from God. He said, I will preserve it for you. And it's preserved in my language. And I have it. It's called the King James Bible. People get mad. Why do people get so mad? Why are they so mad at me for using the King James Bible? Why is it all the other translations, they all compare their translation to the King James Bible? Preservation. Boy, don't miss that. It is so important. Somebody says, well, we don't have the originals. You know, we don't. We don't. What are we going to do? We're not even going to shed a tear over that. You know why? Because I have the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying it's better than the originals. It is the originals. Because it's the Word of God and He preserved it. Well, the originals weren't in English. Well, I understand. Nobody was. Hello? But God preserved it for us so that when it was time for English to get the Word of God, we could get it. That's what we have, folks. Amen. It is that simple. And I hope you can get that. It is divine revelation, supernatural. It is given by inspiration, supernatural. God breathed it. It is kept by preservation, supernatural. God is doing it. But watch this last point. And this is what amazes me. It is understood by illumination. Don't miss this, all right? It's why some of you are absolutely miserable. Yeah. Bless God, I'm a King James guy. But you don't read it. Do you know it doesn't do you a bit of good to be a King? You might as well be a Queen James guy. You might as well be. You might as well be an NIV person if you're not going to read it. Because it all comes down to, God says, I'll reveal my word to you, I'll breathe it out so that you can have it, I'll preserve it in your language, and God says, if you you read it, I will open your eyes. Now, folks, you ain't got nothing till God opens your eyes. Illumination. That's supernatural just as much as any of the rest of it. I was going to do my illustration just to show you the miracle of preservation, because it is a miracle. But the greatest miracle, not the greatest, but one of the great things. Well, real quick, let me show you something. Romans 1:21, just real quick. Here's what happened to us because of sin. You want to see the downfall of man, read Romans 1, and you'll see it. By the way, it all started off with unthankfulness. That's where it all began. You sit here tonight and you're not thankful, you're headed for trouble. In fact, it goes in Romans 1, you go from unthankfulness to being a homosexual real quick. I didn't write it, God did, but that is what it is. And Romans 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, watch this, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It was darkened. That's me before I got saved. My heart was darkened. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Ephesians 4:18. So now we have a dark heart. No way we can understand the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated. Talked about that this morning. From the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the what? Blindness of their heart. But look at 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And we could look at many, many verses. But I'm just hurrying. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, because I want a hot fudge Sunday. Amen. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, a light that shineth in a dark place. And go back now to 1 Corinthians 2. We've been there a couple times, but I want to tie this thing together. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I just can't understand the Bible. You've just testified of something that is not right in your life. Either you need to get saved or you need to get right. And you'll start to understand the Bible. Guaranteed. Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24, 45. Just about done. Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding. Watch this, that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what Jesus did for His disciples. He said in verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Why? Folks, God isn't trying to keep it as a secret. He's the one that revealed it to us. He's the one that gave us the divine revelation in the first place. He's the one that inspired. He breathed the very words. He's the one that's kept it for us by preservation. And it's understood by illumination. John 16, verse 12 ties right in with this. John chapter 16 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Look down at verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Boy, that's good. I've made these things known unto you. By the way, he makes them known unto us gradually. I would hope as a Christian, you've been saved several years, I hope you know more now than you did the day after you got saved. But wasn't it fun to start learning things? Wasn't it exciting that all of a sudden you understood? I'll tell you what, when this long-haired hippie got saved, and all of a sudden things started to make sense to me. All of a sudden, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. I hadn't gone to Bible college yet. I hadn't been in church long enough yet. But God, His illumination, He opened my eyes. He took a dark heart and He turned on the lights. And all of a sudden, I could see. Everybody in this room should say like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That's what it's all about. Pastor, could you help me understand this passage of Scripture? Sure, the calls come all the time. Matthew, Henry, do you think you could help me understand this passage? Sure, you do that all the time. But absolutely nothing beats the time on your knees when you say, "Open my eyes. Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I close with 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. You say, "Well, bless God, I'm a King James guy." You're not if you don't read it. You're not if you don't heed it. You're not. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. I love this verse. I've been trying to work out a way to preach on this verse, and it just didn't happen. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." That'd help a lot of folks right there. Just right there. "Because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us," please get this, "you received it not as the word of men." It's God's supernatural book. "But as it is in truth, the word of God," and I wish you'd believe this, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Effectually worketh also in you. When we let it, He'll show us all kinds of things. Nothing freaky, nothing weird, nothing out of line. Just what He wants us to see out of His Word. We need a revival of Bible reading and Bible heeding, where we realize this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is how I'm supposed to live right here. This is what I'm supposed to... If God says, "Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved," that's what I'm going to do. If God says, "Ye may know that ye have eternal life," that's what I'm going to do. If God says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another," man, I'm going to be kind, kind, kind. God says, "Comfort one another with these words." And there's nothing better than these words then. God's supernatural book. When's the last time you read it? When's the last time you consistently read it? When's the last time you heard it and you got on your knees and you got right with God about the thing He spoke to you about? When's the last time you read it and you heeded the words of God and you immediately did what God told you to do through His precious supernatural book? If the revealing is supernatural, the inspiration is supernatural, if the preservation, and we know that it is, if it is supernatural, then the illumination is just as supernatural. And if God showed it to you and you've not acted on it, you are disobeying God. You're not a King James person. You're not even a Bible person. God, open my eyes. I want to see. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.